Chapter 6. The Imperial Palace compound of Xi'an was immense, so large that it was said that an emperor could visit one room of it a day for their entire reign and still not have visited every single room. Whether or not this was an exaggeration was entirely dependent on the reign of any particular emperor, of course. Absolutely true in the case of Emperor Victos I, who was emperor for 13 days and died of anaphylactic shock due to mushroom powder being inadvertently present in the wildly allergic emperor's mashed potatoes. Possibly not true for Emperor Cizan, who ascended to the throne at 17, lived to be 102, and was succeeded by her great-grandson. What was true was that no emperor had visited every single room in the imperial compound for the near millennium that it had existed on Xi'an, itself a habitat built expressly to be the home for the emperor and their court. The palace compound held not only the private apartments of the emperors and their families, but also the residences of various ministers and staff in apartments ranging from lavish to what were essentially bunkhouses. The Imperial Palace compound was also a place of work, festooned with offices, conference rooms, auditoriums, and shops and cafeterias, not to mention storehouses, lavatories, gyms, janitorial closets, and electrical rooms. There was a jail and a hotel, not close by each other, several post offices for mail both interoffice and interplanetary, a fabrication room, and an entire wing of secure offices and interview rooms where either you needed very high clearance or to have done something genuinely awful or both to see the inside of. Greyland II had not done anything awful, but she was the emperor and therefore had sufficiently high clearance to be inside the secure wing of the compound. In point of fact, she had not been into the secure wing before. Her own apartments and offices had their own secure rooms that not only rivaled but exceeded the security of this particular wing. And in any event, anyone who worked in the secure wing would come to her. For today's briefing, however, her security people asked for it to be on their home turf for logistical and technical reasons. Thus it was that Greyland II found herself walking through the offices of her imperial security forces, heading for a secure conference room at the back. Greyland came unaccompanied by staff and with only a bare minimum of her own personal bodyguards, who were hired and vetted by the security team housed in this wing of the palace. No one stared as Greyland, in the dark and unflashy attire she wore when she wasn't being paraded around in public, walked through the corridor to the conference room. If you hadn't have known she was the emperor, from the response to her presence, you would think she was a middle-level bureaucrat at best. This was fine by Greyland, who continued to find the aura of the emperor one of the most exhausting things about it. Greyland walked the corridor and into the conference room, where three people awaited her. She nodded to her bodyguards, who closed the door to the conference room and stationed themselves on the other side of it. As the door closed, there were almost silent hissing and clicking sounds as the door sealed to the outside world. Until the door opened from the inside, it would take something close to a nuclear device to get into the room. "Your Majesty," Hybert Limbar, chief of the Imperial Guard, said, bowing. He motioned to the other two people in the room. "This is Coet Gamel, who runs the analytics section of Imperial Security, and this is Dontellu Sabrogan, who did the research and simulations you asked for. Both are, of course, cleared at the highest levels of security." Gamel and Sabrogan bowed to Greyland, who nodded back. "You are why we were asked to come here," she said. Normally, when meeting with Limbar, Greyland felt comfortable using the informal address for herself, but in the presence of new people, and people for whom meeting the Emperor would likely be a once-in-a-lifetime event, she switched to the royal we. "Yes, Your Majesty," Gamel said. "Everyone here is secure and vetted, and while we have no reason to believe your personal staff is not also secure and vetted, people will talk, even quite innocently. Someone who knows what I and Dontellu do might be able to surmise why we were visiting you and giving you a presentation."
"Our visiting here at all will be enough of a topic of conversation," Greyland said to Limbar.
"Yes, ma'am," Limbar said. "But given the range of challenges the interdependency is facing at the moment, there will be no clear consensus as to which of them has been the occasion of your unexpected visit.
Greyland smiled ruefully at this. Indeed. She motioned for the others to sit, and then sat herself. Limbar, Gamel, and Sabrogan waited until she was seated to take their own seats. Then let us proceed with the occasion of my visit. Limbar nodded to Gamel, who nodded back and turned his attention to Greyland. A few weeks ago, and in the aftermath of the coup attempt against you, my section was asked, I presume at the direction of your majesty, to offer a threat assessment for the interdependency in the light of imminent collapse of the flow and other factors. We have, of course, been modeling threat assessments since evidence of the flow collapse came to light, Limbar said. Yes, of course, Gamel agreed. However, these new assessments factored in the fallout from both the coup attempt and your majesty's response to it. You mean our throwing a couple hundred of the highest-ranking and most connected members of parliament, royalty, and clergy into jail on account of their treason, Greyland said. Just so, Gamel said and coughed. He motioned to Sabrogan. Dontellu is, bar none, the best analyst in my section, and her remit in the last year specifically has been modeling out the consequences of the flow collapse. She's going to take the lead on this briefing if that's acceptable to your majesty. Yes, of course. Greyland turned her attention to Sabrogan. You may proceed. Sabrogan looked at her superiors uncertainly and then back at Greyland. Your majesty, she said, before I begin, I need to ask you a question. You may? How blunt may I be in presenting my assessment? Greyland smiled at this. You mean will we be offended by strong language and possible negative outcomes? Yes, ma'am. One of our foremost advisors can't go a sentence without using the word fuck and just spent half of the last executive committee meeting trying to convince us that the economic underpinnings of the interdependency were under direct and immediate threat. We think you should be fine. In that case, Your Majesty, we're all kind of screwed. Greyland laughed out loud. Now tell us why, she said when she was done laughing. Some of this you already know, Sabrogan said. The collapse of the flow has begun and is taking out centuries-old streams that serve as the arteries for commerce in the interdependency. When they're gone, the individual systems of the interdependency will be isolated from each other. Inasmuch as the structure of the interdependency is predicated on all the systems being reliant on each other, this means that within a few decades, the human habitats in those systems will begin breaking down. The Dalla Cisla effect. Sabrogan nodded. You have given Parliament a few months to devise a plan to mitigate this, but our analysis suggests that Parliament will not devise a workable plan in that time. Greyland nodded at this. Also, our analysis suggests that you have already factored this indecision into your planning, Sabrogan said. Greyland looked over to Limbar, who shrugged. You said you wanted a thorough analysis, ma'am, he said. What does your analysis suggest I will do after that? Greyland said, turning her attention back to Sabrogan. The most probable course of action is that you attempt to commandeer some or all of the Interdependency's fleet of starships to transport as many people as possible to End, which is the only planet in the Interdependency capable of supporting human life on its own. And how well does this work? It doesn't, Sabrogan said. First, it's deeply unlikely an attempt at nationalization on the necessary scale would succeed. Guildhouses would balk and rebel, and you would likely be deposed, probably within a few months. Second, even if the first scenario didn't happen, there aren't enough ships to transport every subject of the interdependency to End, either all at once, Greyland raised her hand, or in a scenario where the systems most vulnerable to collapse were evacuated first to other less threatened systems. Greyland put her hand back down, frowning. And third, the total population of the interdependency is at least 20 billion people. End has less than 100 million people. Its infrastructure can't handle 200 times its current population, or even a fraction of that number. For that matter, the ecosystem of the planet itself would likely collapse with the sudden, by both human and ecological timescales, introduction of even a few billion humans. In trying to save humanity, you would quickly kill the one place it would be able to survive. That is, even if they could make it to End to begin with, Gamel said. We have to assume that Granny Nohama Peaton and the prophecies of Raykella have control of the flow shoals coming into the end system. They can destroy any ship entering their space before the ships can even hail them.
We're working on that, Grayland said.
Even if you are, Your Majesty, that won't solve the other problems, Sabrogan said. Those are pretty well baked in. So no matter what, billions will die.
If your plan is to move them to end by ship, yes. But ma'am, it's not likely you'll be able to get that far.
Grayland frowned.
What do you mean?
Remember that you gave me permission to be blunt, Sabrogan said.
Yes, yes, Grayland waved her hand, annoyed.
Sabrogan looked at her bosses again before looking back over to Grayland.
I estimate that there will be another significant coup or assassination attempt against you within the next 3 months, she said. And that attempt is very likely to succeed.
It's no great feat, predicting a coup or assassination attempt against you, considering your track record since you became emperor, Ottavio VI said to his daughter.
Thanks, Dad, Grayland said back to him.
She paced the confines of the memory room. Ottavio VI's gaze followed her as she went. I didn't mean to offend you, he said.
You didn't, Grayland stopped and reconsidered.
No, actually you did offend me, but you're not wrong, she started pacing again. And yet you seem surprised.
I thought this sort of thing was behind me, at least for a little while.
Because you put in jail everyone who was plotting against you.
Yes.
That's not how that works.
That's not what you told me before, Grayland protested.
When I came in here and told you how I had everyone arrested, you told me I'd won.
You did win.
Grayland gestured annoyance.
And yet, here we are, Dad.
You won a round, daughter, Ottavio VI said.
You're still in the fight.
I could abdicate, Grayland mused. You wouldn't be the first.
It wouldn't solve the actual problem, though.
It would solve the problem of a coup, Ottavio VI pointed out. If you're not emperor, you can't be overthrown.
That's not the actual problem.
The actual problem is billions of people dying no matter what I do.
That's not your fault.
It's not anyone's fault.
Grayland stopped again.
Wait. That's not actually true.
Gee.
The humanoid figure appeared.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Show me Raykella the First, by herself, please.
Yes, Your Majesty.
There was a shimmer, and both Gigi and Ottavio VI disappeared, replaced by the image of Raykella I, the first prophet emperor of the interdependency. As always, Grayland was still a little awed by the fact that she could summon Raykella, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, at all. If Grayland gave it any thought at all, she would have to admit that being able to talk to any of her predecessors here in the memory room was an amazing feat in itself. But all the other emperors, not excluding her father, were just people. Massively important people in their time, clearly, but still people. Grayland, who had the same job as they did, felt no need to think of them as fundamentally better or worse than she was. Raykella, on the other hand, had founded the interdependency, as well as the church that the interdependency gave its name to. She'd had help. The entire Wu family, both as ambitious and duplicitous then as it was now, had worked hard to get her into her various roles. But at the end of things, Raykella was the one who had made it all work. That Grayland's conversations with Raykella revealed her to be no more or less human than any other emperor, immensely cynical and not in the least bit holy, did not lessen her predecessor in Grayland's eyes. If anything, it raised her up. Raykella had nerve, which was not a thing every emperor who followed her could claim. Grayland's respect for Raykella, however, didn't mean she couldn't be annoyed with her.
Why didn't you build the interdependency to survive flow collapses? Grayland asked Raykella.
It didn't occur to us at the time, Raykella said.
How could it not occur to you?
We were busy with other things.
But you knew flow streams could collapse, Grayland said. Humans come from Earth. There's no flow stream to Earth anymore. You knew it had collapsed.
That was a naturally occurring collapse, as far as we knew.
It wasn't, Grayland reminded her. It was intentionally caused by the interdependency's predecessors.
True, but we had forgotten that when I was alive.
And even if it were naturally occurring, how does that even matter? You had evidence that flow streams could and did collapse for whatever reason, and you didn't factor that into the development of the interdependency.
It had only happened once.
Greyland gaped at Raykella. Seriously?
Moreover, by the time we were forming the interdependency, the prevailing scientific theory of flow streams was that they were stable and would remain so for centuries and more likely millennia. That wasn't wrong.
It wasn't wrong until it was.
Yes, Raykella agreed.
But it was wrong 1,000 years into the future from when I and the rest of the Woos created the interdependency.
You're suggesting that you're not responsible for thinking through the consequences of your actions.
I'm not suggesting anything, Raykella said.
I will note that humans are not great at thinking over the long term, and we were no exception to that. Neither are you, for that matter.
What do you mean?
You were just complaining to Ottavio VI how you thought coup attempts were behind you. But you hadn't thought out the longer-term implications of throwing hundreds of people in jail for treason. Now, you're having to deal with the shame and anger of their families, their houses, and their organizations.
How? Greyland stopped herself from finishing that sentence. Of course Raykella knew what Greyland had said to Ottavio VI. Effectively, she was Ottavio VI, and he Raykella, because they were both Gii, wearing the skins of the now-dead emperors. Greyland made a note to stop falling for the pathetic fallacy at every turn. And anyway, as much as it galled Greyland to admit it, Raykella had a point. When she herself couldn't truly register the implications of her actions a few weeks into the future, she was not sure how much she could blame Raykella and the rest of the Woos of her time for not gaming out where the interdependency would be 1,000 years on.
I wish you had thought about the long term, Greyland said to Raykella. It would make my life easier now.
No, it wouldn't, Raykella said.
You might have avoided this particular problem, yes.
But you would have had other problems.
You don't know if they would be better problems or worse.
I don't know that there are worse problems than trying to figure out how to save billions of people from dying, Greyland suggested to Raykella.
That's not your biggest problem, Raykella said.
Billions of people are somehow not my biggest problem?
Raykella shook her head. You've been reliably told that you'll be out of power or dead within the next few months. That's your biggest problem. Or, at the very least, the one in front of you right now. If you want to save those billions of people, you're going to have to save yourself first.